Well, Puerto Rico is just the beginning when it comes to twists and turns in the Democratic nomination process. Many political observers think there's an excellent chance neither candidate will seize a clear lead before the convention, a tie ball game, and how it would be resolved is anybody's guess. Ryan Lizza writes about politics for The New Yorker magazine, and he's here with me today to offer his best estimate. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Faith. How are you?
I'm fine. So are you up for hopping on a plane to San Juan if the Democratic contest comes down to Puerto Rico?
I say absolutely.
That's sake of journalism.
After all of those months spent in Iowa and New Hampshire, I think we deserve it.
Do you think there's a real chance that we'll see Clinton and Obama fly to Puerto Rico to stump for votes?
I mean, I wouldn't predict. I would say it's not likely, but it's certainly possible. If you just look at how things have played out until now and you project forward and assume that things are going to be basically split down the middle to the end, why not? I mean, they've basically been almost exactly even in the vote count. They're almost exactly even in the delegate count. And even if you throw in the superdelegates, you know, depending on which news organizations count you're watching, it could just be a tie ball game all the way to the ninth inning.
Who's more popular in Puerto Rico? Does anybody know?
That is an excellent question. And, you know, there's not a real rich history of primary and caucus polling for Puerto Rico.
Right.
Haven't seen any.
That's
of those
not your beat.
Recently.
Why?
No, and I haven't seen any polls out of there yet. So, all right, you go with the conventional wisdom and you say, our last guest aside,
Duffy aside,
Hillary has been doing pretty well with Hispanic voters, and maybe that trend will continue.
So some projections have this race going down to the convention, maybe not just going down to Puerto Rico. We've got Maryland and D.C. and Virginia tomorrow, which are all projected for Obama. And then Ohio and Texas are on March 4th. And I know you say Pennsylvania is a state that's really looming large. How do you see that?
Yeah, if you look at the calendar, basically you have what the Hillary people refer to as the killing fields of February.
They really
right?
say that?
Yeah, this is the whole month where it's all just Obama states. You know, over the weekend he won 5 states.
Yeah.
You know, by huge margins, yeah. Over 50% in every single state, including the Virgin Islands. Now tomorrow we have the, you know, I'm from Washington, and I might add that Washington has fewer delegates than Puerto Rico, which is a huge issue for some of us down there. And so we have these three, we have Washington, Virginia, and Maryland. Right now Obama's looking very strong in Maryland and D.C. and not bad in Virginia. So she could go almost an entire month without winning a state.
But none of those is winner-take-all, right? So she'll be collecting delegates.
Right. It's all proportional. So she would be collecting delegates. But he's racking up pretty big margins. And at a certain point, momentum starts to reassert itself, right? We could go back to the way we thought this process was going to unfold in the beginning. You win a state, you win a state, you win a state. You build up momentum, and you sort of just bury the other candidate through the sort of publicity, the money rolling in, and just being on the front page every day. Then you roll into March 4th in these two big states, Texas and Ohio,
mm-hmm.
Based on the voting patterns, based on the kind of voters that are in those two states, they should be strong for Hillary. This big Hispanic population in Texas, she's been very strong with Hispanics. Big working class Democratic population in Ohio, that's been more of her base than Obama's. So those should be good states for her.
When's Pennsylvania?
Now, Pennsylvania, you're tripping me up a little bit here, but it's later the following month.
Okay, it's in April.
But there are 6 weeks before the Pennsylvania primary. 6 weeks where there's no other primary. So everyone thinks that this could just
turn... A debate a night.
So basically every reporter is assuming that this is going to turn into Iowa. We're all going to be living in Pennsylvania,
no
in Harrisburg,
you.
In Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh for 6 weeks. And you know, this could be the decisive battle.
So, as you know, DNC Chair Howard Dean recently said that the party might make, quote, some kind of arrangement if no clear... that sounds like The Godfather, doesn't it? If
yes.
There's no clear nominee by mid-March or April, what's he talking about? What kind of arrangement?
You know, that is a great question. What is Howard Dean ever talking about sometimes? I don't know. I don't think Howard Dean knows, because nobody alive, no modern Democrat remembers having to deal with anything like this. I mean, Howard Dean took over the Democratic Party, you know, just recently. He didn't expect that this was going to turn into a delegate battle, and you were going to actually have to know what the rules are for this nominating process. So I have absolutely no idea what he's saying would you know, he's going to have to work something out. And I'll tell you, he has a very poor relationship with the Clintons.
Mm.
He has little to no relationship with Obama, and I doubt that either of those people are going to be looking to Howard Dean to settle this thing. So there's basically no power center in the Democratic Party. There's no sort of elder statesman that could sort of come along and sort of broker something. I mean, the power center, the big shot in the Democratic Party is Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
He's not the most honest broker
slightly
for this
biased,
kind of thing.
Yeah. Ryan, we have to take a break, so please hang on. In a minute, I want to talk to you about your weird, totally made-up theory about how Al Gore can become the Democratic nominee. Also, comedian J.B. Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm talking with New Yorker writer Ryan Lizza about the nail-biter of a race for the Democratic nomination we're seeing this election season. By the way, Ryan, all that you and your ilk, and I say that with esteem, can do is speculate. Like, do you ever get...
And I will note that the track record of the speculators this cycle is abysmal. I mean, I can't think of a whole lot that the pundits have actually gotten correct. So,
did anybody see this neck and neck between Obama and Hillary coming?
No, everyone predicted that the race would be over on February 5th. Now March 4th is the new February 5th, and then April 22nd is going to be the new March 4th. If that doesn't decide it, and then you know,
then y'all
June
all head
7th
to
will be
Puerto
the
Rico.
New. Yeah, I'll go to Puerto Rico.
Okay, so if it's tied and no one folds, let's speculate some more.
Yes.
I guess it's down to the superdelegates. Everyone loves talking about them now. And you were just saying that Bill Clinton wouldn't exactly be the most honest broker of an arrangement, but he's also a superdelegate.
Yes.
So do you expect he'll be bringing his sidearm to the convention this summer?
You know, they're already wrangling superdelegates, and they've been wrangling superdelegates way before I think the Obama team knew what a superdelegate was. They had a little bit of a leg up on those folks. And it is kind of comical, this idea of a superdelegate. It does conjure this image of a really important person. But the truth is that some of these superdelegates are just, you know, random party hacks who the DNC owed a favor, so they give him the superdelegate status. They're not just elected officials.
Hillary have the advantage with them right now?
She does right now. She's ahead. She's ahead right now. But the thing is, we don't really know. I mean, the AP's calling all the superdelegates and trying to sort of put together a count, but most of the superdelegates aren't saying which way they're going to vote. And so there's a big debate over whether the superdelegates vote the way their district or state votes, or if they just vote their conscience.
And I just heard that Lieberman was stripped of his superdelegation, espialidocious.
Yeah, and I don't know what the rules on that. It seems like it's quite easy to strip someone of your superdelegate status. Apparently, the DNC is like kryptonite to Lieberman. It's now gone because he's endorsed John McCain, which, you know, that's, you know, fair enough. That's a fair reason to strip it.
All right, so lay out the recipe for this tie game. Obama-Clinton convention deathmatch scenario. How would it play out? What really happens?
Here's what some people are saying. The truth of the matter is nobody actually knows. But there is quite a bit of time between the Puerto Rico primary and the actual convention. So in that period of time, the theory goes, this will be worked out. Right.
That's what Howard
you won't actually right. You won't actually go to the 4-day convention where everyone will sit down and say, "Okay, now that we're all in the same room, let's decide who the nominee is going to be."
That'd be
right?
So cool and exciting.
I mean, the whole idea of a convention was it was a period of time where you actually had to meet to discuss things. You know, you didn't have email, or you know, you couldn't communicate the way you can now. So I think that the betting is that it will actually, despite the desires of folks like me, it will be actually worked out.
That's not as exciting.
Late in the summer.
Except there's this crazy scenario that you have come up with. Tell me how Al Gore might be the Democratic nominee.
Here's the dream scenario that I can't take credit for, but some of Al Gore's very excitable supporters have floated to me. And that is, what if it's deadlocked? What if it's down to the wire? We go through Puerto Rico and it's still nobody gets...
Rock, paper, scissors, they've done everything.
Exactly. Nobody gets the magic 2025 delegates. Even the superdelegates have finally said who they're going to vote for, and it's not decided. You have a deadlocked convention. What if Al Gore comes down from the mountain as the only figure that can unite the Democratic Party. And he, you know, says, yes, Democrats, I will solve all your problems. I will be your nominee. And the delegates rise up and say, this is the only way to end this impasse. We're throwing our support to Al Gore.
And this is the dream. This is your dream scenario.
This is not my dream scenario.
As a journalist
covering it. Well, you know, how exciting that would be, fantastic. But this is I will say that this has been floated by some of the folks that, you know, have been dying to get Gore in the race, and this is the one last chance to get Gore to be president or to be the nominee.
Has the calculus changed among Democratic voters now that there's a very strong chance that McCain is the GOP nominee?
Yeah. It does change the psychology of voters, right? Now you actually know, okay, who am I sending? I'm going to send this person I vote for into battle against McCain. It's no longer just, you know, a generic Republican. You actually have a face. You have polling numbers. You understand how strong he is. So you've seen in the last 2 weeks, since McCain has been the obvious Republican nominee, you've seen Obama and Hillary really start to make the argument of which one would be stronger against McCain.
Yeah.
And every day you're getting an email from the Obama, or reporters are getting emails from the Obama and Hillary people making the case. You know, Obama keeps citing all the national polls that show him generally as a stronger candidate against McCain. Today, Mark Penn, Hillary's pollster, he did a conference call with reporters saying, no, those polls are wrong. Hilary's the strongest nominee against McCain. So it's really changing the argument.
I have a little game I want to play with you, but before we get to that, real quick, do you think all this quote-unquote negative press about Hillary, if you can call it that, replacing her campaign head, or I'm sorry, what do you call them?
Yeah, campaign manager. Yeah.
Thank you, manager.
Yes.
Having to give her own money to her own campaign, it still kept her in the news cycle.
Yeah, she is better.
Is that bad for her or not?
She sort of retains, I think it's good for her, and it does seem that they are better at spinning stories. They're better at sort of playing the game with the press. I think when Obama has a bad week, it's a really bad week. When Hillary has a bad week, they're much better at rebounding. They're much better at spinning stories. They work harder at it. You know, they work the refs, the reporters a lot harder.
They've had a lot of years.
They're masterful
to build
at setting
palaces.
Expectations. Yeah. So I think in general, even though she's having a bad week, nobody's counting her out. She lost 5 states and nobody's saying it's over for her.
All right. So finally, we have this game we play. It's called Sunday Morning Metaphors on Monday Night.
Sunday Morning Metaphor on Monday Night.
Okay, so we need your help interpreting a George Will comment that was on ABC's This Week yesterday morning. We want you to decipher it, okay? You ready?
Listen. Yes.
It is unbecoming for those who played and lost to sulk in their tents like Achilles. No good came to him, and no good will come to those who sulk.
Okay, so Achilles sulking in his tent. Ryan Lizza, what real-life phenomenon in the news this week does that metaphor represent?
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Achilles sulking in his tent, George Will.
Who would George Will care about?
Mitt Romney.
Oh, interesting. You think Mitt Romney might be Achilles?
Will would not shed a tear for Mitt Romney, though, would he? I give up.
All right, let's see if it's Mitt. Let's hear.
John McCain played by the rules and won. He is, by that victory, legitimized. It is unbecoming for those who played and lost to sulk in their tents like Achilles. No good came to him, and no good will come to those who sulk.
So I guess Achilles is the anti-McCain GOP.
Yes, the anti-McCain conservatives. Not quite Romney, but the people that supported Romney.
But Ryan, thank you for playing.
I get points for being kind of close.
Being in the ballpark of the political party.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
And I hope you end up in Hawaii covering that primary.
God willing.
Ryan Lizza covers politics for the New Yorker magazine. For more about him, please visit our website, morefairgame.org.